You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, don't resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and make your coat and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also to the second mile. Give to anyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, then what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Thank you. Good and gracious God, as your word has been read and sung and preached and heard, let it be a guide unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. One Sunday, the great, great Southern preacher Fred Craddock preached today's gospel passage. And as worship was ending, an older gentleman in the congregation came up to Fred and said, "Well, you really blew it today. That was just a terrible choice of scriptures." And Craddock, being the gentleman that he is, said, "Well, our Lord did say those things." And the man said, "Well, the Bible's out of touch. It's just out of touch with today. People don't want to hear anything about cross-bearing or forgiveness or love your enemies, or they don't even want to hear about any ought or must or should. People want to come to church to feel better. They want to enjoy themselves. Here's something that will help them be successful. So knock off the ought and the must and the shoulds. If you keep doing that, the church is going to die." Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I need Jesus to be radical in his forgiveness. I need Jesus to be radical in grace, in turning the other cheek and expecting me to do the same. I should, I ought, I must hear Jesus and try my darndest to live out this radical message. I might not like hearing it all the time, but I need to hear, love your enemies. Give your coat to someone who wants your shirt. And go the extra mile. It challenges the bejabbers out of me. And I often fail to live as I should, as I ought, as I must. But we need to hear that message of Jesus' grace to make this world that is so full of violence, we need to work, we must work, we ought to work to make it a more godly place. Now, I can't mention Fred Craddock without telling my favorite of his stories. Craddock was a good old-fashioned Southern gentleman, as I said, a great preacher. He was about 5 foot nothing, and by the time the story I'm going to tell you happened, he was very much a venerable, stately senior citizen. And I need also to tell you, when I tell Craddock stories, I jump into his voice and his pattern of speaking, so I already apologize for that. But he used his voice like a musical instrument as he preached. So he tells the story. He says, my wife was out of town, and I had to make one of my big, sumptuous meals, so I went over to the Piggly Wiggly to get some peanut butter. Now, I don't like to walk 14, 15 acres up and down aisles looking for stuff. It is my custom just to ask. I just ask. And so I saw this woman pushing a cart, and she was had us full to overflow, and she was a bit leisurely. I said, she must know where to find the peanut butter. So I said, hey, lady, could you tell me where to find the peanut butter? And she turned on me, and she said, are you hitting on me? And I said, no, I'm just looking for the peanut butter. And he backed off, and he went and found the stock boy. He says, aisle 14, halfway down, you know. And Craddock gets the peanut butter, and he goes to check out, and who's in front of him but the lady? And she says, you really were looking for the peanut butter. He said, I told you I was looking for the peanut butter. And she said, well, you can't be too careful these days. And Craddock dropped into his preaching voice. Yes, you can. You can be too careful. As we look to live out, love your enemies, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, give your coat when they want your shirt, we can't be too careful. Jesus calls us to the very hard work of not being careful at all, but of taking risks to enter into and to stay in relationships with each other and the people around us. This last week, Sarah and Gabriel and I went to the Future of the Church Summit in Loveland, Colorado. And it was so affirming, because it affirmed who we need to be as church and who we need to be as Christian people. It wasn't a new message at all. It was actually, I sat there and I said, you know, I think this is like 2,100 years old. And back in the Stone Age when I was ordained, we used words like fellowship and partnership. And Jesus used words like koinonia, communion. Today and tomorrow, the future of the church is being in relationship with each other. We don't need to have special skills to reach out a hand, to hug somebody, to say a kind word, to tell another person, you know, I'm praying for you today. You might bug me to no end. You can think you're bugging me to no end, but I'm going to pray for you today. I was telling the folks at Mosaic this morning, one of my hats, one of the things that I do is I'm a church mediator. And I was called in to help a church one time that the pastor and the congregation's relationship was broken. And what happened was the pastor nominating committee and the church called the pastor, and they called him because he was a very famous Christian writer, brilliant man, very famous Christian writer, and they called him. But when they called him, they didn't call a writer. They assumed. They called a jack of all trade pastor into a small member church. And they just wanted this famous pastor to love them. That's all they wanted. Now, he saw the call. He assumed he was called, and he saw the call as one of writing and study. So he was in his study most of the time with the door closed. And they wanted somebody to be out there with them. And so by the time I was called in to mediate, the relationship was broken, completely broken. And we tried our best, but it just didn't work. And so Presbytery ended up having to dissolve the relationship because there was no going the extra mile. There was no turning the other cheek. The ill feeling had gone too far with him and his family and with members of the church, and the relationship could not be fixed. Now, thank the Lord, this had a happy ending. The former pastor founded a website and an online ministry based on his writing. He and his subscribers practice relationship through the written word, and it works for them. And I'm glad it does. But that's not church. That's not who we are as the people of God together in this mess. Being a pastor, being a member of the church, being a Christian is all about personal relationship. Now, there was a happy ending for the church as well. They called a ginger-haired young man with a pastor's heart who gets it. And last week, he posted on Facebook bragging for Pastor Appreciation Month. Members of the church all chipped in together and got him a big old box of Apple Jacks breakfast cereal. Now, you got to be in pretty good relationship with your pastor to know that he likes or she likes Apple Jacks rather than Captain Crunch or Cheerios. It is all about being in relationship with each other. Communio, communion, koinonia, communion with each other. Jesus said, love. Love. We don't always have to like. And most of the time, though, it is easy to like, but love takes hard work. It's about not being careful with our emotions. It's about not being careful to reach out to somebody. It takes putting yourself on the line. Jesus said, love those who love you. If you only love those who love you, what credit is that? Now, the Craddock sermon that I'm borrowing a good part of this sermon from, Craddock reminded me that the original word in Greek for credit or reward is also grace. It can be translated as grace. So he said, read Jesus' words this way. If you love those who love you, where's the grace? If you do good for those who do good to you, where's the grace? If you lend only to those who lend to you, where's the grace? Our mission, our ministry, our outreach are all about doing our darndest to live out the radical grace of Jesus Christ. To live, to gracefully live with each other. Christianity is not passive. It's aggressive. It calls for the hard work of being in relationship. We do ministry. We do outreach. We do what we do. And I said this a couple weeks ago, and I really like this image. We do what we do, not so we get these little coins or chits or the thing with the reader card that we put in the gates of heaven. Oh, look, Steve did all these good works. Let us open the gates of heaven. It doesn't work that way, folks. We're already assured of heaven. God in Jesus Christ assures us. Who is your Lord and Savior? Who is your Lord and Savior? Congratulations, you're going to heaven. And we need to show the world that love. We need to show the world that salvation. We need to show the world. That's why we do what we do. That's why we stay in relationships. That's why we turn the other cheek, even though I'd rather put my chin down and put my hands up. That's why we do these things. We have been blessed to be a blessing. We have been loved so as to love. We have been had grace poured upon us so that we may live out that grace. We have been saved to witness and to give thanks for our salvation and to show others thankful living. We have been gifted in abundance. Gifted in abundance, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, so that we may give in abundance. We have been forgiven so as to forgive. We have been called so as to be different. One more Craddock story. He said, I remember one time I was at the post office at Blue Ridge. You can almost hear him say Mayberry, can't you? I was at the post office at Blue Ridge, and some prisoners were working on the sidewalk. Now, I could tell they were prisoners because they were wearing striped clothes, and there was a guard there who had two guns. And as I left the post office, I said, boy, I said to myself, well, they're doing a great job. And so I turned to them, I said, gentlemen, thank you. You're doing a great job. And the guard said, you don't thank them. They're prisoners. We are called to be different. We are called to live differently. We are called to extend, to be nice, to not be careful with our praise, but to give our praise. All of this mess that is Covenant Presbyterian Church started in 1983 when saints from First Church downtown weren't careful at all. They stepped out of the giant church downtown and came to Briargate. And we were graced. And we know that it takes, since then, it has taken a lot of hard work by a lot of people to be in communion with each other. Along the way, we've done a lot of cheek turning. We've gone the extra mile. We've graced each other. We've graced our neighborhood. We've given in abundance, been received in abundance. We have given our time and talents and money. We have loved when we haven't felt like it. And we have lived out grace and lived out the gifts of God. We understood and still understand the future of the church is fellowship, is partnering, is cheek turning, is forgiving when we don't feel like it, is loving and staying in relationship, because we're in this together. We have been blessed to be a blessing. And we can't be too careful. And again, I'm going to ask you to jump out of the boat with me. It's going to take a lot more work to get us up and running and going. We are up and running. It's going to take a lot of work to keep on course. That's a better way to say it. In faith, let us take up our cross and follow Jesus. Let's prove that naysayer who told Craddock that you can't be church anymore the way we've always been church. We must follow Jesus. We ought to love one another even when we don't want to. And we should always work to be perfect. We can't make it, but we should work to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. This is who we are called to be. And God promises us that He's gone out on a limb. He's gone the extra mile. God has stayed in community with us. He never took back what He told Abraham so long ago. So it's not 2,100 years. It's more like 5,200 years. He never took back what He told Abraham. I will be your God. You will be my people. That is my covenant with you. I will be your God. You will be my people. This is our calling. This is our name. We are the Covenant Presbyterian Church. So let's take chances. Go the extra mile and do the hard work of living into our name today and forever. Amen.